In a league of its own.
On the ball with Preffy Early on Dublin City FM. First for Dublin Sport, Dublin Sport.
Stephen Finlater of the hookhockey.com website joins me on the line. Stephen, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Bethany?
Not too bad. Stephen, now I'm looking down to the fixture list and there's just an never-ending list of games. So we've a lot to get through today.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty busy weekend. I suppose I want to start with the Irish Senior Cup, and Glenan and Pegasus were in action yesterday. Went to penalties with Glenan coming through on strokes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the standout match of the weekend. Glenan from Tallaght produced probably one of the, well, I mean, if it's not the biggest upset this year, it's probably the biggest upset for about 5 or 6 years in the Irish Senior Cup. Ulster kind of queenpins, I suppose you call them, Pegasus. They've won the Ulster Premier League title, I think, about 8 times in the last 10 years. They've been Irish Senior Cup champions about 3 or 4 times in that time as well. Glenan, who's currently 7th in Leinster Division 1, they weren't given much hope by a number of papers up north, especially the Belfast Telegraph, who were already talking about a Pegasus against Ballymoney second round date next weekend. But Glenan produced a superb performance to draw a normal time 1-1. Claire Shillington with the goal in the first half, which was cancelled by Vanessa Serginer, and then Rachel Lamb made a number of penalty saves, so they won the penalty stroke competition 3-2. So an absolutely huge result for Glenan.
Now, it's funny you mentioned Claire Shillington, and also the photograph on your website is of Mary Waldron, both Glenan players, but well known to any sports followers at all. Mary from exploits with the Irish senior soccer team, and both girls with their exploits on the Irish cricket team, which have qualified for the World Cup next year. So these girls are top class athletes, and just maybe haven't really got the correct exposure with Glenan over the years. But I know we've never really mentioned them in a hockey terms before.
Yeah, well, I mean, the nature of them being involved in that cricket side that's qualified for the World Cup next year means that they're kind of in and out of the squad, and that their availability is kind of limited for Glenan on the hockey front. I mean, Mary Waldron's a very accomplished player. She's played for the Leinster senior team before, so she's definitely a top player. And like you said, she's a soccer international and a top performer for Raheny, if memory serves me correctly. But Claire Shillington moved to Glenan from Clontarf about 2 seasons ago, where she'd been playing kind of Division 3 and Division 4. She's hugely decorated in cricket terms. She's got over 100 caps, I believe, for the women's cricket team, and was one of the first players to hit that milestone. So hockey would definitely be her kind of second sport. But she's lethal in front of goal when she's given the chance.
I suppose moving away from the Women's Irish Senior Cup for a moment, we look at the Women's League. I think the big shock of the day, maybe not necessarily shock, but the big result of the day was Railway Union 1, Hermes 2.
Yeah, it's an interesting enough one. I mean, Hermes, you know, they struggled at the start of the season, and they've kind of been a little bit off the pace in the kind of Leinster League in the last couple of years. Despite being always kind of perennial challengers, they've got a lot of internationals in their squad, but they've been a little bit injury hit this season. But they're definitely the form side in the league. That's now their 6th successive win after they lost their first 2 games of the season. Railway Union, though, they're like, as we mentioned on the show quite regularly, said the reigning All-Ireland champions in both the Irish Senior Cup and the Irish Hockey League. But they struggled yesterday against a very well-organised Hermes side who look like they're coming good.
Is this the first chink in that railway armour?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, the transition appeared to be reasonably smooth since Mick McKinnon, their coach, finished up last season, and then Nazir Munir took over this year. Mick McKinnon has been kind of overseen pretty much their rise on the Irish scene, from being kind of mid-table kind of fodder to being national challengers and building a really, really strong squad. I mean, they let slip a result against UCD when they're 2-0 up, but a draw against UCD probably wasn't too bad a result. But this would be the first kind of major setback that they've had really since Nazir Munir's taken over. So I don't know whether it's a signal of a long term, just kind of stepping off the pace. But they'd still have plenty of talent and plenty of players with a lot of know how. So maybe it's just a one off. But Hermes again, no slouches. So it remains to be seen how significant this result is. But
yeah, I suppose the other top two sides in the top four of the league, UCD and Loretto, faced off at Loretto yesterday. UCD emerging 2-0 with strikes from Anna Flanagan and Deirdre Duke. UCD, pretty much it's their league title now to kind of lose. They've put a nice 4-point cushion between themselves and Hermes in second place.
Yeah, I mean, they profited from a kind of a couple of early gifts. I mean, Anna Flanagan scored within a couple of minutes of the start of the game, and then Deirdre Duca not long after when she profited on a kind of a defensive error. And so Loretto, they put it up to them thereafter, and they'd won a lot more penalty corners. I think it was 5-2 in the penalty corner count, but you know they just couldn't convert any chances. And so their UCD are now in a really strong position at the top of the table. You know, that one knocks Loretto back about 5 points off the pace, and with Railway Union losing as well, there's quite a wedge there kind of developed even after just 8 games in the season. So it really is their title to lose.
Okay, I suppose the other two games in the season would have been bottom of the table encounters between Pembroke and Corinthian, where Pembroke managed to push themselves into the top half of the table with a 2-1 victory over Corinthian. A bit harder fought than you would have expected based on the form going into that.
Yeah, I was at that game. It was reasonably tight. Pembroke always looked kind of in control, but they never really kind of killed it off. I mean, they went ahead very early. May Faherty with her first goal for the club after some brilliant work from Circa Clark, and that kind of put them 1-0 up. But they didn't really kind of kill it off. Enna Horan scored a second goal early in the second half. But then Corinthians had quite a bit of play after that. Mel O'Leary was pretty much central to it, and then she slammed home a goal with about 10 minutes to go, and it kind of made it nice and nervy towards the end. And you know, there was like Corinthians is very 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 young side. They've got a lot of schoolgirls and a lot of kind of 19-20-year-olds in their team, and it gave them that kind of bit of belief which maybe they were lacking earlier in the game. And there wasn't any clear-cut chance to get the equaliser, but it was still, you know, a lot more nervy than it probably should have been for Pembroke.
Okay, the final game of Division 1 in the women's end of things, Trinity 2, North Kildare 1. Trinity, only their second win of the season, so it must be nice for the students to get a win at that level.
Yeah, well, the importance of it is, I mean, it puts 6 points between them and North Kildare, who've now yet to get a point this season from their 8 games. So I mean they face Railway Union next weekend. Aside, they've lost two twice already this season, so they're in a real spot of bother. Trinity, you know, they've kind of pushed a little bit further away from the relegation zone, so they'll be pretty chuffed with that result.
Okay, on the men's end of things, let's take a quick look at that. Three Rock Rovers top scorer in this week, 5-2 against Corinthian.
Yeah, it was comfortable enough. They moved 4-0 up before Corinthians got 2 goals back. But then you know, Jodie Hosking kind of copper fast in that win to make it 5-2. It you know keeps them 4 points clear at the top of the table, and it was reasonably comfortable until they maybe took their foot off the gas a bit in the second half. Corinthians were kind of but they had their hopes a bit kind of set back a bit by the absence of Jethro Eustace, their South African international. He was actually in Nairobi playing for South Africa in the African Cup of Nations on Saturday afternoon and playing against Egypt, and they won that game, which qualifies them for the World Cup. So that also might be cause a few issues for Corinthians, as he'll be kind of required to travel back home a lot more in the second half of the season to probably play a few kind of friendly matches and stuff like that in their build up for the World Cup.
Suppose the other two members of the top three in that division, Pembroke and Monkstown, both had reasonably straightforward wins, both at home. Monkstown 3-1 versus UCD and Pembroke 2-1 versus YMCA.
Yeah, Monkstown were 1-1 against UCD at half time. It was quite tight before goals from Lee Cole and a first ever senior goal for Ian Horsfield, despite playing I think he probably made his debut for Monkstown about 10 years ago.
He kind of copper-passed. He won't thank you for that one.
Well, yeah, I actually used to play with him in college.
He's that old.
Yeah, yeah. So there we go. Now he'd probably be about 28 or so at this point, but he's certainly a very accomplished defender, and you know he's played a couple of years over in Scotland, playing at the kind of top level there, and also in the European Hockey League with Kelburn. He's back maybe about like 2 or 3 weeks here, but he's a former captain of the Monkstown side, I think, from when he was only about 23. But you know, loads and loads of experience, but never scored a goal before. But he copped fast in the win there for them against UCD. Pembroke's one was interesting enough against YMCA. They won 2-1, but the main kind of story was the goalkeeper that they used. This guy Ian Clark, who was speaking about experience. He was kind of a stalwart of the Glen Ann side at the early part of the century. That kind of one
that really makes him sound ridiculously old. You're only talking 12, 13 years ago, to be fair.
Yeah, but I mean, he's kind of moved into the coaching side of the game maybe for the last 4 or 5 years or so. But Pembroke had a real goalkeeping issue this weekend. Their main goalkeeper, Mark Ingram, who's part of the kind of extended Irish setup, he horribly strained a knee last weekend, and every save he made last week came with a huge big scream when they were playing against Monkstown. So he's probably ruled out until after Christmas. Their number two goalkeeper then, Hugh Lavery, was actually with the Leinster under 18 side that played up in Belfast this weekend. So they were really scrambling for goalkeepers at this point. And Ian Clark, he's been involved in kind of doing a bit of goalkeeping coaching, and he's also coached the women's side at the club there in Pembroke in the last couple of years. So he was the man that they managed to get registered and into the side to play this weekend. And he obviously did well enough to keep YM out and get a 2-1 win.
Love those kind of stories. The final game of that particular division, Glenan and Rathgar. I suppose the men, if the girls can do it, the men can as well. 5-1 winners over Rathgar. But to be fair, Rathgar have had a pretty poor season, 10 defeats out from 10 games, so that would have been almost expected.
Yeah, slightly expected. I mean, the only kind of, I suppose, Rathgar kind of going into the weekend, they might have thought Glenan might be light, a couple of players. They had Neil Byrne and David, I think it was Neil Byrne and Stewie Ronan were the two absentees there, but Rathgar, they haven't got a point yet since they've moved up to Division 1, so Glenan obviously would have been targeting that one for the points, and they've moved up to 6th place and kind of kept themselves in touch with the top 5 with a fairly comfortable win.
Okay, you did mention the Interprovincials, the under 18, some of the players been unavailable due to that. That is going on at the moment, or actually this morning and yesterday in Jordanstown and in Mosley up in the north, and it's been a pretty successful run out for some of the provinces, not so much for the others. Let's look at the under 16s first. Leinster, despite beating Munster in the first game yesterday, haven't managed to pick up a victory since then, so it hasn't been all great for them.
Yeah, I mean, Ulster fairly dominated that competition. They won their four games out of four. And so Leinster have ended up third out of the three provinces that competed. Munster beat them this morning 3-1. So that's Ulster kind of, that's them retaining that title pretty much at a canter. I mean, they beat Leinster, 2-1 and 6-1, which were pretty comprehensive score lines, and then they got the better Munster in their two games as well. So, I suppose the interesting one there is that Munster beat Leinster 3-1 this morning, which got them into second place. They'd kind of see themselves as maybe, not quite competing that much in previous years, but they've been doing a lot of hard work at the underage level, guys like sort of Alan Good and Andrew Gray, to try and make themselves more competitive at inter-pro level, and this will be, I suppose, a further justification of the work that they've put in at that level.
Looking at the under 18 level then, a slight bit better for Leinster in terms of they actually managed to beat Munster in one of the games this morning, but got beaten 5-0 in another game. How does that happen?
They actually beat Munster 5-0.
The results on the IHA website are the wrong way around.
And now, as it goes, just in the last 15 minutes or so, Leinster have gone and they've actually won the title there. So they got two wins over Munster there in the 2 days, 5-0 and 4-2. And then basically it meant that going into the last game of the weekend, Munster had actually beaten Ulster. It meant that Leinster could afford to lose by 3 goals and still end up the winners of the competition on goal difference, having drawn with Ulster. It was quite shaky at times, but they ended up losing 3-1 to Ulster, with Andrew Smith scoring a couple of goals for the Northern Province. But Leinster ultimately prevailed by a couple of goals on goal difference. As it goes, the tournament for both Leinster sides ended up being very condensed. Basically, they were due to play on Friday evening, and both their games got frozen off just due to the cold weather up north, and it meant that they ended up having to play 4 games in a kind of under a 30-hour period. So I suppose that might be a factor in kind of terms of how the results panned out. Just the sheer intensity of that schedule.
Okay, I suppose. Finally, just to wrap up, why don't you take a look at the Junior Cup schoolgirls quarterfinal results from during the week. Alexandra College 2, Loretta Beaufort 0, Mount Anvil 1, Rathdown 0, Muckross 2, High School 0, Loretto Foxrock 4, Theresians 0. I suppose the schools game is where the majority of the players of the future is going to come out with. Anyone there in particular, any of those teams strike an interest for you, or is there anyone who you would fancy to emerge from that yourself?
At that level, at juniors kind of level, to be honest, I wouldn't have a huge kind of knowledge. I mean, that's kind of where that'd be their first kind of major competition in the schools one, so it's kind of where they kind of reveal themselves. Alexandra College is always particularly strong, and they had a number of players in the Leinster under 16 side. So they'd usually be kind of there or thereabouts, as would Mount Amble. Loretta Fox Rock is kind of maybe a side that would be not as frequently on that scene. Muckross, they dip in and out of being involved in the latter stages, but Mount Amble and Alex would certainly be the established schools, and so I suppose just based on that, they'd probably look to be the favourites currently, but I really couldn't tell you any more than that.
Okay, no problem. Listen, Stephen, thanks very much for joining us again, and we'll chat to you next week.
In a league of its own.
On the ball with Preffy Early on Dublin City FM. First for Dublin Sport.